Our sermon text is Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. You may be seated. I want to give you an explanation as to why we're doing what we're doing. Our sermon this morning is actually on the book of Lamentations. And so you ask yourself, why in the world are we reading from Habakkuk? Well, there's several reasons, and I want to explain it to you. My goal is to kind of broaden our minds to a larger context than just the book that we're looking at. Habakkuk is a book that's very similar to Lamentations. The man Habakkuk was actually a contemporary of Jeremiah. He wrote about the same time that Lamentations was written. And our sermon is going to be a comparison and contrast this morning. And that section from Habakkuk is a comparison and contrast. Generally, at the end of the sermon, I try to take us to the New Testament and give us an example of how one of the apostles or the writers of the New Testament used whatever it was that we were studying. And that will be true for us today as well. So if you're wondering why, this is just the way my mind works. I mean, which, you know, may be sick and wrong and all kinds of things, but we read Habakkuk. It's a very short book, three chapters long, and it's a reminder that there were others who were faithful at this dark, dark time in the history of Judah. We will be looking at Lamentations 2 and 3 this morning. I'll give you a little time to find that because not everybody knows where Lamentations is. It's in the Old Testament, in case you didn't know. So you can start there. Keep in mind, too, the index in your Bible is one of the most important pages in your Bible. So don't ever hesitate to go to the front of the book to try to find where we are if we're in some more obscure place. There are two things that we learn from Habakkuk and two major things that we learn from Jeremiah, the author of Lamentations. One is that judgment, God's judgment, is very real. He's promised it, and he brings it upon his people for their sin. But God is also faithful as well. And there is hope for those who are faithful. It's really a matter of perspective. I've said this often, and I will continue to keep saying it, but I'm going to add something to it this morning. The faithful keep their eyes on what is unseen rather than what is seen. And that is very challenging to do, especially in dark times. I'm going to add to it because I had a question that ran through my mind this morning. When I trust and I hope in the unseen, am I trusting in the unseen because I want what the seen is to change? In other words, do my eyes turn to God simply because I want the circumstances and my surroundings to change? Do I simply want things to get better? Or is my trust actually in the hope of joining the unseen? Do I really want the unseen to become seen? Or do I just want the God who lives in an unseen world to change what I see? I mean, most people in our world today, when they woke up or when they will wake up, who are believers in the Lord Jesus, will look out their windows or their huts or wherever they are, and their world will be dark. It will be black. There will be little or no hope for them whatsoever. For those people, perhaps it's easier to have hope in the unseen because what they see is so hopeless. It's harder for us because things are relatively good and relatively smooth. We have bad days at work. We have scraps with those that we love. But generally speaking, life is pretty smooth and pretty easy. And so there's really not as much reason to hope in the unseen. In the time of Lamentations, all this darkness was brought on Judah because of sin. God was punishing his people. The faithful were along with those who were being punished. The Babylonians were coming in. They had killed or transported away most of the young, strong, healthy people from Jerusalem. They had, I still can't find a word that makes me comfortable. They had violated the young women of the tribe. They had carried off all the food and the wealth of the city of Jerusalem. They left a few behind, as I told you last week, who were either unhealthy or older to tend the rubble of the city that was left. But by and large, the city was destitute. And you had a few faithful people left, like Habakkuk and Jeremiah, and they had to write about the pain that came with judgment. The comparison and contrast this morning is between light and darkness. We start with darkness. There may be coming a day when we individually will face darkness, or maybe corporately we will face that which is darkness. And the Bible prepares us for that. It teaches us where to put our trust and what the unseen looks like, so that when the darkness comes, we have some place to turn. I'm going to read sections of chapter 2 this morning. And I'm not trying to be morbid, but God has given us this dark picture for a purpose. Things were so bad in Judah, I'm not going to read it because I can barely get myself to read it to myself. But starvation was so prevalent in the city that people turned to cannibalism. And, I mean, it's shocking what you read about in the Bible sometimes. But let me read some of these sections, and then this is obviously the darkness, and we'll turn to some light. Thankfully, we'll get a breath in the middle of this. Verse 1 of chapter 2. How the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger. He has cast from heaven to earth the glory of Israel and has not remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. I want us to notice one thing as I read this morning. It's very interesting. Everything that goes on in chapter 2 and chapter 3, God is behind. He's the one who is doing it. He doesn't talk about the Babylonians. He doesn't say, look what the Babylonians do. Look at what the Babylonians did. It's all God, and it's all him. And he brings judgment, and he brings reprieve toward the end. I'm skipping to verse 6. And he has violently, speaking of God, treated his tabernacle like a garden booth, and he has destroyed his appointed meeting place. The Lord has caused to be forgotten, and the appointed feast and the Sabbath in Zion, and he has despised king and priest in the indignation of his anger. The Lord has rejected his altar. He has abandoned his sanctuary. He has delivered into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord as in the day of an appointed feast. He's speaking of the enemies there who are feasting in the now temple of the Lord, which has been destroyed and burned in Jerusalem. It's a dismal, dismal picture. And Jeremiah is writing this. Chapter 2 is corporate in nature. In chapter 3, Jeremiah will speak more or less in the first person. He'll be speaking about his own suffering and so on. I'm skipping down to verse 17. The Lord has done what he purposed. He has accomplished his word, which he commanded from days of old. He has thrown down without sparing. He has caused the enemy to rejoice over you. He has exalted the might of your adversaries. Their hearts cry out to the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let your tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief. Let your eyes have no rest. Arise, cry aloud in the night. At the beginning of the night watches, pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the life of your little ones who are faint from becoming hungry and at the head of every street. See, O Lord, and look. With whom have you dealt thus? Should all women eat their offspring and the little ones who were born healthy? Should priest and prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? This is why Jeremiah is lamenting. The most dismal scene you could ever possibly imagine. And when you look to the future, all there is darkness. All there is black. And Jeremiah is lamenting. Chapter 3, I am the man who has seen affliction because of the rod of his wrath. He has driven me and made me walk in the darkness and not in light. Surely against me he has turned his hand repeatedly all the day. He has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. Verse 17 of chapter 3, my soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say my strength has perished. Boy, that's desperation. That's need. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you wake up in the middle of the night and you think of all the things that are coming the next day, and it's just absolutely hopeless. Just hopeless. There are very few things more desperate than hopelessness, I think. And that's the situation of Lamentations. The last part of verse 18, and so has my hope from the Lord. My strength's gone. My hope is gone. Everything is gone. Verse 19, remember my affliction and my wandering. He begins to plea. The wormwood and the bitterness, surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. Here's the hope. I recall this to mind, and therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little break. I want you to grab your hymnals. Turn to hymn number 54. You can stay seated. If you look at the top of that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, written by Thomas Chisholm, it was written in 1924, so it's a modern hymn. So never say that we don't sing modern music here at Redeemer, okay? Because we do, 1924, for heaven's sakes. This hymn is based on Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. So let's sing this great hymn together. back to the text. Thanks, Lord. Verse 20 again. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me, and this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him, to the one that waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of his youth. Let him sit alone, be silent, since he has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. Perhaps there is hope. Let him give his cheek to the smiter, and let him be filled with reproach, for the Lord will not reject forever. For if he causes grief, then he will have compassion according to his loving kindness. For he does not afflict willingly or grieve the sons of men to crush under his feet as the prisoners of the land, to deprive a man of justice in the presence of the Most High, to defraud a man in the lawsuit. Of these things the Lord does not approve. What strikes me is Jeremiah is in darkness unlike anything I can really even imagine. I mean, the things that he saw defy anything we can possibly imagine. There is nothing seen in the world that would give him hope. And so he turns his attentions wholly to what is unseen. And he doesn't say, change my existence. He doesn't say, give me food. He doesn't say, give me shelter. He says, I have hope because God's loving kindness has never failed. Your mercies are new every morning. You see, Lamentations is a picture of what God's judgment looks like. And as I said last week, it is a picture of the judgment that was laid on the head of the Father, Son, our Lord and Savior. And we, our hope does not rest in circumstances being changed. Our hope rests in eternity. Our hope rests in what is unseen. Someday, and I hope it soon, dear brothers and sisters, someday we will exchange faith for sight. And if it happened right now for me, like I said, if I keel over, just let me go. I just mean it. In fact, if you want to kneel on my chest to speed it along, feel free to do so. I want to exchange faith for sight. And I want my trust to be in the unseen. The God of the universe who has prepared a place for us. I don't necessarily need him to change the circumstances today. I just want to be in his presence in the unseen. Whoever wrote Hebrews thought of this. I turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to start at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I don't know who wrote Hebrews, but they sure knew Lamentations. You see, friends, our judgment has been removed from us by the God of the universe through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Everything that is in Lamentations is our just deserts. It's what we deserve. And yet today, because of what Christ has done, we have hope. We have confident assurance in what is unseen and will be ours in the near future. And so, I don't know what to say. I don't want to go through what Jeremiah went through. I don't want Buena Vista to become Jerusalem. I don't want to see starvation and hunger and things so fraught with terror that people did heinous things. But I want my eyes on the unseen. And I don't want them there just so that what is seen changes. I want to want eternity. Great is his faithfulness. Oh God, our Father, what an amazing, amazing reality. Let's pray. Father in heaven, there is darkness in this world, but there is light in you. There can be hope because you are faithful. Even though man is faithless, you are faithful. Help us to be a people. I don't know how. Help us to be a people who even now can focus like Jeremiah on what is unseen in the hopes that very soon we will exchange that which we hope for sight, and that everything we see will bring us hope. All praise, glory, and honor belong to you. And we ask these things in the name of your most precious Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Our benediction is taken from Habakkuk 3, which we read earlier. But in standing even in light of the darkness and tragedy, Habakkuk says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes me my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. May we go and do likewise. Amen.